living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106 if you want to weigh in on anything. Real quick, IT Jesus says, I don't believe for 1 minute there would be a tax from somewhere else that would lead to a worse effect like property or business. These taxes will slow growth. So no taxes. So taxes at all, we'd become a poor state. Where does the money come from? A money tree? No. And then it says the whole state of Florida is a beach, referring to Representative McClammy's comments just a few minutes ago on this program. What I would say to you, my response, IT Jesus, wrong. The whole state of Florida is not a beach. And just spend some time in Tallahassee, Florida, and I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, enough of that. Joining us now on the line, our returning champion, Hales from Daphne. Always a pleasure to bring him on. This time, you can usually hear him about this time on Fridays. State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you. I wish the weather was better, but I'll take it. I'm back from Montgomery, so it's a good day.
Well, we get our week or so of winter here in South Alabama, and you just manage, right?
That's right. It would seem we're having it now, so off we go.
Yeah, well, bundle up, ladies and gentlemen, and just try to make it through. Because there's light at the end of the tunnel. But anyway, let's kick it off here. Special session now underway. ARPA funds, does it seem to be going as planned?
It does. You know, it seems that there was a lot of work done. I know there was a lot of work done over the last several months as things really kind of clarified as far as the federal guidance on where this money was going to be spent. I feel as comfortable as possible, I guess, with the disposition of the bill and where the money's going to go and how we're going to appropriate it. There's an oversight mechanism that is about as much as the legislature can do, within the Constitution, provided for in the legislation, to really check on and stay updated on the allocation of the money once we've appropriated it. And I think that leadership and Senate leadership in particular, Senator Albritton, Senator Schofield, Senator Reid, have done a very good job making sure that this is buttoned up and ready to go. And I expect for it to move very quickly next week and for us to have that disposed of and off our plate and then be back into regular session the following week.
And then that's when things ought to pick up a little bit. Obviously, the budgets come later, but there's all these other sort of there's some local bills, I think, that have not gotten an opportunity to be heard. But beyond those, the others, the critical race theory, the constitutional carry, the transgender athletics stuff, that is going to get its hearing.
It is. I think all of those will come to fruition. You know, there are a couple important bills that have been introduced too in the special session that were not in the governor's call that I think should have been in the governor's call and will move through as well. So we'll be working on those next week at the same time.
Well, let's talk about one of those bills we heard from your colleague Dan Roberts a week ago on this, and you said you were supporting the effort. There is the child care credit there that under Alabama law is perceived to be revenue, and for that reason it is taxed at the state level. The Senator Roberts and I think Jim Carnes in the House want to abolish that tax, write something into legislation, and from what I hear, it sounds like it's got a good shot of making it through this special session.
Well, I sure hope so. It'd have a better shot if the governor had included this measure in the call, but she didn't do that. Just like she didn't include vaccine, the expansion of exemptions for vaccine mandates, which we were able to pass last special session, which didn't include that in the call either. But you know, the legislature has the ability with super majorities to pass legislation that's not included in the governor's call. That's unfortunately what it'll take here. But you know, you've talked thoroughly with Senator Roberts about it on your show. Senator Roberts and I have been looking at this kind of genre of issues, if you will, as it relates to PPP loans, as it relates to other COVID stimulus money, CARES Act money, et cetera, that's come in over time, and making sure that that's not recognized as taxable income by the state of Alabama. And Senator Roberts was, Johnny on the spot with this too, watching it and making sure he had legislation prepared and ready to go. He's introduced it. It's SB2 in the special session, and I'm the first co-sponsor on it and very supportive of it. We'll be helping him get the required votes to get it through and make sure it becomes law. So and quickly enough so that when people start filing their taxes at the end of the month, you know, here in 9 or 10 days, that this is on the books, and that the Department of Revenue understands how to handle this perceived income.
Well, and this may not be a question for you, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Do you have any sense of what the House will do? Do you think the House will go along with this? Do you think that they'll override the call and you could get it through the lower chamber as well?
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine a scenario where the legislature would not want to take these, you know, $500 or so dollar checks that, you know, or that people have been getting, you know, or $250 per kid check, you know, that they've been getting, and all of a sudden they realize they've got to pay taxes on it. That's not something the Alabama legislature wants to do coming into an election year. It's not something that the governor should have wanted to do either, which is why it should have been included in the call. Plus, it's just wrong. I mean, it's not something that Alabama should be making money off of. We've got budgets that are flush, both in the general fund and the education trust fund. I mean, incredibly flush. And, you know, people are struggling right now. This money was meant to help them through a tough time. Us taxing it, you know, afterwards is poor form. And we've got the opportunity to fix it. Let's get on with it. Fix it.
Yeah, well, in the danger here, the reason you got to get it done, I mean, there, even if you got it done in the regular session beyond this week, or next week, I should say, then the W-2s go out and you'd have to do some kind of amended return, right? And then who has time for that? Who's going to do that? How complicated is it? I don't know. It doesn't seem that complicated, but time is of the essence here, because it could just wind up being a tax break that some people won't be able to take advantage of.
It's work that needs to be done. It's legislation that needs to be passed. There's plenty of bandwidth inside this special session when we're dealing with this one ARPA bill to deal with another bill or two that is, you know, substantially similar and related. There's no reason not to go ahead and handle this and handle it in a timely manner so that it can be done in time for people to file their taxes the first time. We just need to get on with it.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. In the special session, I know your thoughts on a lot of these things. We talked about this in the past, but the stuff that some of the infrastructure improvements and trying to be handled here. Do we have any clarity on this? If the state engages in a process of providing septic tanks or grant funding or something of that sort for these beleaguered, economically beleaguered places around the state, they just don't have the water and sewer infrastructure, so you're going to try to figure out a remedy, and that is one of the remedies, one would think. Do we have any notion, or is this something ADEM will just figure out later? Do we have any notion of how you're going to execute a new program like this, that, you know, this is supposed to be a one-time thing? Is it entirely possible that, you know, that later on people just didn't have the wherewithal to hook it up or handle it right or properly, that the state would have to come back and look at this again?
Those are very fair concerns. And anytime you start handing out, you know, one-time money that has recurring maintenance obligations, whatever those might be, you got to be concerned about that, right? We're going to provide a grant for you to build this, whether it's a septic tank or whatever it is. But there's maintenance associated with that, and if folks have not shown the ability or the desire to maintain those facilities in the past, install or maintain those facilities in the past, what makes you think they're going to do it now? Well, you know, look, I think we've got an opportunity here to address some of those issues. They are serious issues. They're serious water quality issues. They are serious health issues, and the federal government has decided to put a bunch of money into this. This is not where most conservatives would spend that money. It's not necessarily one of those jobs that's the responsibility of the state government, in my mind, but this is pass-through money coming from the feds. And it's certainly something that in certain areas is needed. I just think it's incumbent upon the legislature and ADEM to develop a process that says this is one-time money. There is no more maintenance after that, and you need to understand that you're accepting the maintenance of this. But there are some areas in the Black Belt in particular that have these types of grants that have been granted to them before and have been clawed back by the federal government because the county agencies, county commission and agencies within the county that were supposed to be handling this either were mishandling it or feuding over who was in charge of it or some nonsense, and have had to return millions of dollars in the past. And it's very frustrating, both to the state legislature, to myself, and also to the folks on the ground who really, really could use some help and who these programs are intended to help.
Senator, the other component that's getting a lot of oxygen, obviously the rural broadband component of this. Tell me, this is kind of getting into weeds on it, but how much flexibility does the state have in dealing with contractors, dealing with any of the entities, the interested parties here, given that this is federal money that with a lot of stipulations? I think somebody at least said, you know, that they'd prefer this be handled through other monies at the state level, but that this could present some challenges for those that really want to enhance the rural broadband infrastructure in Alabama.
Anytime you have the federal government getting involved in something like this, there is an inherent danger that it's going to build something that the market wouldn't necessarily have otherwise done, that it may be inefficient, or that it may be put somewhere where it's either not needed or needed less than it is somewhere else. And what we've tried to do through previous legislation is set up a framework for a grant program that leverages this money, or really at the time it was anticipated future money, the source of which we were not sure of, but leverages that so that companies will put some of their money in along with this grant program, and it encourages those folks to serve underserved or unserved areas. But there's always concern about how we're driving investment in certain areas through federal grant programs that either may not be sustainable or may not be where the market would have otherwise put it. And then I'll add one more wrinkle into it. Anytime you're dealing with technology issues such as this, I have very real concerns about, that type of infrastructure being outdated, and when that happens and what the next jump in wireless or satellite technology is or something else. I think there's room for this space in both, but I also think that there's some applications that could be much better served through a wireless or satellite-based connectivity as opposed to a hardwired one that could be very expensive to serve that last mile of service.
Right. So it's just anytime you deal with the federal government, this is just part of it. Last question we'll get you out of here on this, and I'm curious watching some of the stuff going on around the state in this Republican cycle, a lot at the top of the ballot, governor and Senate races. You got any thoughts on how this is playing out? Do you feel pretty good about the candidates?
I do. I think that, the governor's race has got some, got a lot of candidates in it now. And it's going to put, Governor Ivey in a position to defend her record and what she's done, what she's accomplished, and frankly, what she hasn't. There's some strong candidates in that field. The U.S. Senate race has gotten a whole lot more interesting than I ever thought it was going to be. A while back, I thought one candidate in particular was almost a shoo-in, and I think that's very much not the case right now. And then you've got a little, some drama going on right now that I tend to think is out of place, but unfortunately it's part of our political discourse nowadays. But we'll see how all that moves along. And I think you'll see very, very little competition in a lot of the state legislative races. The polling numbers for the state legislators, I'm pleased to say, are pretty high. And folks think we're doing a pretty decent job fighting vaccine mandates and the overreach of the federal government and working for folks. So we'll take that and move on through this next cycle.
Yeah, I guess just kind of follow up on that point, though. The incumbents look pretty solid in the upper chamber heading into this, as with even opponents that have filed.
I think so, and you know, those legislators, a lot of whom are seasoned and have been in and held other political offices, know how to communicate with their constituents. They know how to get things done. They know how to listen to their constituents and are paying attention to them. And, you know, when you start talking about a legislative body, obviously seniority matters. And when you've got a legislator that's doing a pretty good job, 9 times out of 10, it's a decent idea to keep them in there, at least for a period of time, so that they can get some seniority and end up with some good committee assignments so that they can better serve their constituency back home.
Senator, you're always very kind to come on, and we'll do it again next week.
You got it, Jeff. Enjoy this balmy weather.
We'll try to do our best. That was State Senator Chris Elliott there on the line. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
In Dixieland alike, we tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at midnight. Because Music Row ain't only in Tennessee. So won't you bury me in Dixie?